This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And right now, we got L. Duncan, SportsCenter host and host of First Take, Her Take podcast, in studio with us, giving us the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And L, I hate to do it to you, but we got to get straight to it. I need to know the range of emotions that you felt when Luke Jackson served up that cookie to Cody Bellinger that resulted in that three-run shot to tie that ball game up in the eighth inning yesterday for the Dodgers. You got to let me know what you were feeling in that moment.
Well, first of all, I wanted Miss Jackson to be out there pitching and not Mr. Jackson. But before I get any further, I'm sorry, Cliff, where's my walk-up music that I requested?
Oh, wow.
I don't talk about – you're not going to ambush me, Canty, on this show, come at me about Atlanta, and then not at least drop my own flavor. So go ahead, Cliff, and there we go. Now, as you all know, I am from Atlanta, and I put on for my city. And so, here's what I always say to you, Canty. My range of emotions. What? I'm sorry. Was there a misconception that the Dodgers were going to get swept? This team won 106 games. Yes. Was it a missed opportunity? It was absolutely a missed opportunity. We didn't need to win that game. They could not go down 3-0 in that series. And yes, I understand. There's plenty of Atlanta people right now because they have PTSD that are going, oh, well, we're not going to feel any kind of way. We all know. We remember last year in 28-3. Because they don't want you saying that to them. But the truth of the matter is the Braves that were in control of this series, Luke Jackson floats a pitch that, let's be honest, Justin Turner should have turned on. It was the same exact pitch. He did not take advantage, and Cody Bellinger did. Here we are, up 2-1 still, right? We have What? No, stop, Canty. We have yet to drop home field advantage. All we have to do is steal 1 of 3 at the Dodgers. We're in a good position. So I'm tired of people like you, Canty, coming at me at, how do you feel? Where do you think? I'm feeling like this is going to be a series between the two best teams in the NL, and it looks like it is.
Well, L, maybe I'm just salty because my Yankees are at home watching things just like you and I are. But I'm just saying, going into yesterday's game, teams that had a 3-run lead or more in the eighth inning and beyond were 138-0.
That's
just saying,
fine.
138 straight
That's
games.
Fine.
And your guys happen to be the ones to give this one up to the Dodgers. I would be a little bit nervous if the reigning defending champions did that to my team.
No,
I'm just saying.
Why would I be nervous about that, Canty? Do you know what? I've got a better number for you. How many teams do you know at the height of their popularity had to go ahead and send their quarterback to prison for dogfighting? One team. We're undefeated there, right? How many teams? 28-3, right? Like, you guys keep... You use it on one end to throw it in our face, and then on the other side, you use it to say, like, well, are you upset, or how do you feel, or I'd feel some kind of way if we what? If we blew something? If we proved to be futile down the stretch? That's what we do! Stop praying! This is who we are, Canty! But you know what? I'm tired of people acting like we can't enjoy it in the moment just because we know, inevitably, there's going to be something soul-crushing to happen.
Let me ask you this, Al, because... This with the Braves, like I had that same thought. I was watching you, Trevor Scales, our former colleague who's down there, all Atlanta, everything. I saw a lot of people that were nervous. You display a different level of confidence.
Yes.
I want to know how far that goes, though, relative to Atlanta, Georgia area sports fandom. Because, like, I look at, like, the Atlanta, the Georgia sports fan curse. This year's Georgia Bulldogs team, that defense is one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
Sure.
Like, if that cracks... Is that like a next level of this? Because I'm just trying to find how deep the pain
Somebody
goes here.
Somebody has to win something, Jojo. Like, listen, here's the thing. The only reason I have landed at this level of maturity, frankly, for me, is because I've tried every other approach, as I've explained to you, and it's not fun anymore watching sports. Like, it really is not fun. And I implore Atlanta sports people, it's funny, because, like, Bomani will say, like, just get off the narcotic. I've done that. I've quit. I've done every kind of approach that you can do. It's not fun, you guys, that love Atlanta sports and work in sports. It's terrible. So my new approach is just enjoy it while it lasts, you know?
Yeah.
You look at, okay, you blew a lead. I look at, we tagged Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler. Ooh, infallible Walker Buehler. And we tagged his ass, okay? So that's how I look at it. I look at it as, one bad pitch away from being 3-0 on the Dodgers, the greatest wild card team of all time, when we lost Ronald Acuna Jr. And we won 88 games. So that's what I'm looking at it. Y'all, stop with this. Stop with this defeatist attitude. Like, we've already tried that. It doesn't work. They always lose. So try a new approach. Like, I don't know, enjoying it while you're in the moment.
Listen,
Al, I know you're an AT Elliott. I got to ask you this question, though, because you ride for the Denver Broncos. I got to ask you this one. I got to know. With Case Keenum being the starting quarterback and not Baker Mayfield, like, how are you feeling about this game on Thursday? Like, how are you feeling?
That was the low-key, pettiest little... First of all, to A, remind everyone that Case Keenum was a former Broncos quarterback, which is embarrassing in and of itself. What a really mature... That was next-level petty. Thank you for sliding that in. You started petty, you're ending petty. I appreciate that about you. No, I mean, I think that the Browns are about to discover very quickly that while they may not think Baker Mayfield is a max type of quarterback... He's a better option than Case Keenum. I mean, honestly, I really do wonder this. I'm going to pose this question to y'all. Could there be a little bit of addition by subtraction, right? Like, it's not on the same level, but there was some degree of they don't want to pay Dak Prescott. Yep. We don't know if he's blah, 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 blah. And then they didn't have him. And it was so glaring that, oh, my God, we are nothing without this man. And I wonder if Baker benefits from sitting a little bit.
I don't think it's going to be in the same way. But sure. But I will say, I think the thing that's similar, too, is everyone around Dak was hurt. Like, last year, it was...
Their O-line was bad.
Yeah, it was Andy Dalton having to go ahead and raise that thing up in a way. Sure. We knew even in the best of circumstances we're going to be tough. For this Browns team now, and Chris, you and I touched on this earlier, you got both starting tackles out. You got both running backs out. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was playing rookie defensive player of the year type football, and he's going to be out for what sounds like the next few weeks here. And so it's everything around him in a way that I feel like could capsize this thing enough to make a city that already felt very beholden to Baker Mayfield feel even a little more of that going forward, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, but this thing could turn on its head if Case Keenum steps in and actually balls. Like, if it's Case Keenum from 2017, what we saw when Kevin Stefanski was his quarterback coach in Minnesota, like, it could create a situation where it makes Cleveland think about the price tag that they want to pay Baker Mayfield. Like, he's a first-round pick. Like, he is supposed to be the franchise quarterback, but there are limits to this and there are levels to this, and I think if Case Keenum comes in and shows to be more productive, especially in the passing game, then it's going to give the Browns a little bit of pause when it comes to paying Baker Mayfield market price.
Ooh, you heard how many ifs Canty said?
I'm going to hit it with my mom. It's a lot of ifs. It's like we're playing spades.
If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, possibles. We'd all have a wonderful Christmas. That's what my mama says all the time. How many ifs? Remember if Jay Cutler can just recapture what he had in Denver in Miami? If Mitch Trubisky could just, let me stop. Like, I don't think that we're going to expect to see 2017 Case Keenum. But I also think that for the Browns, you know, again, you guys are the lovable losers because you just don't win anything. Don't at me, okay? Because we get right there and don't win, and it's worse. It's worse to be close than to not be close at all.
Yeah, I've lived that hell before.
Yeah.
So
right?
It can be pretty bad.
It's
when you get there.
You'd rather a blowout than a close one?
No. Yeah, I've lived the blowout version of this. I would rather go out with some dignity and a whole lot of pain than getting toe-tagged and having to live with that for the rest of my life.
It feels like if you get beat, you know you were outclassed and you were never there. But if you lose, you could like look at like a play or two and say, you know what I mean?
But like it doesn't change. You were still there. Like, Chris Canty got to go back and celebrate that 10-year Super Bowl.
Yes.
So he knows he was in the building and he walked out with the trophy. Like, we can say, you weren't really there. But it doesn't change the fact I was really there when Alabama did those things, and so now I've got to live with that for the rest of my life. And
yeah, see ain't no moral victories with that one.
No. And there are no moral losses either in that one there. There is just loser confetti and a crystal ball over on a different sideline. So we are brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. The road to greatness with L. Duncan, who will not deal with your negative vibes around Atlanta.
Chris,
sports.
Come on. Yeah, love you guys, but stop it. Stop it now.
It's so fun.
Now, I will be back on the show next week if we are in the World Series. If not, I will ghost you all. Thank you, Cliff. Play it on the way out, Tuba. Hey!
Coming up next.
East Side.
Much like everything in the past of Atlanta sports, people don't forget. We'll get you with who in sports thought we were slipping next on ESPN
Let's
Radio.
Go.
Go. This is ESPN Radio.
Ian Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Mike, you know, we pride ourselves on the level of petty that we can sometimes show on our show. And so there's a little segment that we started last week that we're going to run it back this week. And it's called People Don't Forget. So we got to get into that, bro. This is about the time to do it.
Hey, Greg, why don't you go f*** your pants again?
That was like 8 years ago.
People don't forget.
You guys thought you were slick. Not today. Not today. People Don't Forget is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots. It's the one when you got to get stuff done. People Don't Forget. How about this one, People Don't Forget? So we talked so much, Chris, the other day about the back and forth in the Red Sox and Astros series here. Alex Cora coming down on his pitcher for mimicking Carlos Correa's time is now celebration here. Well, Carlos Correa had something to say about that one. Ended up spurring a big-time ninth-inning comeback as the Astros evened up the ALCS here. And Carlos Correa was supportive of that bleep talking, Chris, but he went out here and returned the favor in the most appropriate possible way.
Yeah, he got it started at the top of the ninth with a leadoff double, and that's always a good thing. And after a Gurriel walk, I mean, Castro singled, and you start talking about this onslaught that led to them being able to put up a crooked number, a 7-run inning for the Houston Astros to be able to take control of that series and tie it up. So this is one of those series that I think is going to go back and forth. But ultimately, the Astros came what they came to do. Because they stole home field advantage back away from the Boston Red Sox. So the situation now where they've got to feel good about themselves right there being at 2-2, fourth games through this series. And Carlos Correa is a big reason why they were able to get that done.
This is interesting, too. Carlos Correa, who's had a ton of postseason success, was spotted hanging around Reggie Jackson, the famed Mr. October, for what we've seen him produce in the postseason, was wearing an Astros cap with Mr. October stitched on the side. And apparently Carlos Correa told this to A-Rod after the game. He said, quote, "We had a great game, and when I went back to the locker, Reggie Jackson gave me one of his hats that he's been wearing around. To me, it's such a great honor. Reggie Jackson, such a legend of the game, gave me the hat with Mr. October on the side." So pretty high praise from someone who's done it at a high level.
No question about it. But, I mean, shout out to Correa for being able to get back at Eduardo Rodriguez, being able to point to that wrist, it's his time, being able to do that again, and being able to be a part of a rally that allowed his team to tie that series up at 2-2.
Kenny Golic Jr. here reminding you the Road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. You can catch Game 5 of that series right after us. We take you up to coverage of Red Sox and Astros Game 5 starting at 5 p.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio. Speaking of People Don't Forget, Nick Rolovich is not about to go quietly into this good night. The former Washington State head coach, who was fired on Monday after they reached a deadline set by the governor of the state of Washington for all state employees to be vaccinated in order to continue working in their job. Nick Rolovich was the highest paid employee in the state of Washington, making around $3 million a year. He has announced that he will be suing the university for illegal termination in part because of, quote, "discriminatory and vindictive behavior" by athletic director Pat Chun, an attorney representing Rolovich, said on Wednesday. Chris, I don't know where he thinks he's going to get with this. We have seen plenty of people go down this path as we have gotten into the world of the vaccine, the world of vaccine mandates being in place at a lot of workplaces, especially public workplaces. And so I don't see this working out well for him, but give it the old college try, I guess.
No, I don't see it working out for him either. He tried to apply for the religious exemption, and that didn't work out for him, but the mandate was clear from the state of Washington. All state employees have to be vaccinated by X date in order to continue their employment. And the fact that he decided that he wasn't going to do that, that's on him. I don't understand why Rolovich is suing somebody else for him fumbling the bag. That's on the head coach. He knew what the consequences were. He continued to decide to make this decision after he waffled a little bit and said that he would consider the vaccine, went back on that, and now he finds himself out of the job, and he's salty about it. But guess what? There's nothing that he can do.
Apparently, his attorneys are trying to claim that Pat Chun, the Washington State AD, had determined Rolovich would be fired as far back as April. I don't know how this is going to work out for them. I'm still waiting for someone to explain to me the religious determination that makes this not something that falls under that purview. I grew up Catholic, and this is all very confusing to me. So hopefully someone will provide those answers once they're done doing their own research. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet passenger is injured in a car accident, get help paying for vet expenses. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Get a quote at progressive.com. Canny and Golic Jr. here, and people don't forget this. We haven't talked much about Spencer Rattler this week. Caleb Williams went out there and balled against TCU this past weekend here. So much so that apparently Spencer Rattler, in his verified Instagram account, removed Oklahoma quarterback from the bio there. So, Chris, I'm sure the transfer portal trackers will be all over this one trying to see what this means for the former could be former Sooners quarterback.
Yeah, I can tell you what it means for him, though. He ain't going to the NFL this year. Like, that's not going to happen. Not after being benched in favor of Caleb Williams. Like, he's going to have to go somewhere else and get that stock to go back up before he can talk about making that jump to the NFL. Because it wasn't too long ago when we were talking about Spencer Rattler being the number one overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft. That's how fast life can come at you, especially in college football when you're talking about a Power 5 program like Oklahoma. The reality is that Caleb Williams gave this team the spark that Spencer Rattler couldn't, and as a result, Spencer Rattler's probably going to have to go somewhere else to continue his college football career.
Oh, actually, I just saw this. False alarm. It got changed back. So there we go. People do forget. Look at that. Updating in real time here. Change back. Forget everything we said. That being said, to Chris Canty's point, if he does decide to move, boy, oh boy, is there going to be a robust market for his services. Because one thing we know for sure, quarterbacks that look and throw like that do not come around all that often, except at Oklahoma. They might just be the ones with the embarrassment of riches at that school. So, again, Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma quarterback, back in his bio on
his
Instagram.
Back in there. His back on.
Boy, how things change here. Folks that are a fan of quarterback depth in Norman, Oklahoma, very relieved at that one here. And you know what? It's probably a good thing because I was going to compare it to a situation in Philadelphia that we've seen with Ben Simmons and what's gone on there and how much someone will go through in order to get out. We'll find out what impact that could have on the Sixers season next.
This is ESPN Radio.
It's been 90 days since we last had NBA basketball, guys, but the news hasn't stopped. What's the biggest offseason storyline?
Well, I think it's got to be Kyrie Irving.
It has to be Russell Westbrook.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and right now we're going to go out to the Goodyear Hotline and bring in former show member and friend of the family, Chinne Agbunike, ESPN NBA analyst. How you doing, Chinne?
Time is up, yes. It's y'all. Okay, fun story about Thames. We all know that Essence is a song of the summer. Hey, Canty. Hey, Junior, my boo. Miss y'all. I had a chance to go see Thames and meet her, but unfortunately, I chose that same time to go on vacation. So, but I did see WizKid, and it was so much fun out here in Los Angeles. So, sorry, that was story time.
Reminding us of the life you live out in Los Angeles, Chinne. Never, never, never missing along the way here. By the way, one time for old time's sake, speaking of
Chinne, yeah.
Just to get it right, heading into the rest of this. You guys, by the way.
Yeah, I need to hear you say it, though.
Come you guys, on. By the way, can catch Chinne and yeah as a part of NBA Today on ESPN with the great crew over there. We're very hyped for Chinne, for Malika, for everyone else over there. And Chinne, it is an exciting time of year for you guys right now because we got all this Ben Simmons drama clouding the start of the NBA season in a way that's got to be particularly fun for everyone to try and digest.
My goodness. Okay, so it's just a story time, and I'm already here in Los Angeles, and this is family, Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio. What up, Shannon? What up, Clint? What up, family? I will tell you that I have seen Ben Simmons a couple of times while he was in L.A., and we all know that the way last season ended, it was a very, 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 very slim chance that he would want to be back on that team. It's not like we're best friends and all that type of vibes over there. It's family. Those guys sort of grew up together and still weren't necessarily on the same page, Ben and Joel. Now, they were great playing basketball, but mind you, all right, come to L.A., I move out here. We finally have sort of a normal offseason, gratefully to COVID and us getting safer, right? I saw him at the Louis V store, and I also saw him at that WizKid concert that I was talking about, right? And so this is a guy that just wants to play basketball but also wants to be in an environment that is productive for him. Now, not many people take the path of I'm going to prove this city of Philly, which, by the way, Philly stands for capita per ESPN radio on this show. Yes, I'm going to prove Philly that I'm the greatest player. But not everyone's cut to do that. Some people will just say, you know what, y'all can have that. I'm going to start fresh elsewhere. And I think that's Ben Simmons.
Chynna, is Daryl Morey playing this the right way? Because it feels like, based on what we've seen the last couple of days, like this has the potential to derail the Sixers' season.
I don't think so. I think he is playing it the right way because I've said it's a metaphorical Cold War to taunt or whatever you call it, because both sides are puffing out their chests and trying to see who will make the first move. That would maybe be the wrong move because they're actually more emotional about it, right? Like, if you're Ben and it doesn't matter what you say or what you try to project and you want out, he's going to play it the way he wants. Was it 365 days ago we saw James Harden sort of doing the same thing, putting out all the vibes that I want out of there? You know, it's the same type of conversation we're having with Ben Simmons. The only difference is that James is an MVP and Ben Simmons is not, and he's coming off of a really difficult playoff, right? So Daryl Morey, if I'm him, I'm trying to get the most value for him. But at this time, the value is difficult and lower based on what happened last year. So that's what's muddying up this entire situation. I think they try to get him to play at least a little bit, but if not, I would just go ahead and say, hey, let's make this trade because we are going to get enough value back. Maybe not the maximum, but we're going to get enough value that can move the needle. You've got an MVP in Joel Embiid on your squad. You've got Tobias Harris. Both of them last year combined for 50 points per game. Wild. You've got good pieces. Shoot your shot and get the right piece. It may not be the full piece you may have wanted. You guys can make a real run.
I think that's going to be the key. You're right, Chynna. Just getting enough here, not necessarily holding out for the max because that's not possible anymore. I want to stick with, you mentioned an MVP and you being in Los Angeles. Russell Westbrook had his first game in a Laker uniform last night in their loss to the Golden State Warriors. It didn't go exactly how he would have scripted it for his first return back to the place that he calls home. From what you saw in night one, Chynna, what's the biggest thing they're going to have to tweak with Russ on the floor with LeBron and AD?
Don't even worry about like what happened with the Lakers. Y'all should just really be mad at me. Your girl was at the Dodgers game last night, okay, and chose to leave at the eighth inning to make it in time to watch the Lakers.
Oh, no.
Left at the eighth inning. So sad. Oh, y'all, everyone say hi to Malika. On ESPN Radio. She's crushing it. Left at the eighth inning, and it was super tragic. I know. What a loser. I'm such a loser, but I did end up watching the game because I left and got home early. And everyone's going to say, oh, you got to overreact and bench him. It's not about benching or starting. It's more so about finding the right minutes and the right rotation. And right now they're clueless. Kendrick Perkins made a great point today on NBA Today, who Malika Andrews, by the way, hosts and we're teammates on. And Perk's point was just, hey, like Russell Westbrook, he's a great player. It just is going to take some time. A lot of these young teams, like the Warriors that have young players that showed up well, they treated the preseason like the regular season. Them OGs on the Lakers do not treat the preseason like the regular season. This was game one where a lot of things were exposed. And so, Russ, I think he will find his moments where he can push and be effective. It's just on Frank Vogel to figure out how to manage the expectations of those veterans and get them in the roles at the right times for them to be successful. He's got about 20 or so games before I start saying, hold up, have y'all figured it out yet? Yeah.
Yeah, Chynna, as a Lakers fan, I'm just hoping that they get this thing figured out by the time we get to Christmas. But asking you more about the opening night, in your mind, did the Bucks prove anything last night in beating the brakes off the Brooklyn Nets? Did they prove anything?
Let me tell you, going into the season, I picked the Bucks because you got a little bit of drama in Milwaukee. You got in Philly. You got a little drama in Brooklyn, and they are unproblematic. So unproblematic. They could weather Drew Holiday, you know, unfortunately, I think it was an injury to his heel. Doesn't matter. We have a system that works. And the Bucks, they have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is like probably a freaking president or owner's dream scenario of a guy that just keeps working and is athletically gifted and blessed. And also figuring out the skill part, that off the dribble three that he nailed. I know he was 1-for-4, I think, from three, but still, that looked good. Like, at some point, it's going to start feeling like it's Giannis's league. LeBron looked great, and I think it's still him, but my goodness, think about in 2, 3, 4 years when he figures out his shot. These Bucks, they're here to stay. They really are. We have to get comfortable staying in Milwaukee.
The Bucks are here to stay. Chynna Egwumike, always here to stay. Check her out as a part of NBA Today with Malika Andrews, Kendrick Perkins, and the whole rest of that crew over there. Chynna, we love you. We're proud of you. Excited to keep watching the new show, and you guys ball out.
Dolo Jr. He's here. He's there. He's having. Go, Junior. Okay.
I'm glad you edited the chant for everyone here on the show here. Go help Pert with his jumper, all right, Janae?
Yeah, he needs it.
Man, I told him you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I don't know if that's true. You know, honestly, he's got a different stats over here, y'all. You should have seen the outtake.
Thanks, Janae. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, y'all. Love y'all.
Janae, yeah.
Janae Agubuike joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN NBA analyst and one of the co-hosts of NBA Today that you should check out on your television screen. Coming up next, though, we are already very far into the NFL season, and we have finally found it, the catch of the year in the NFL. We will tell you who made it next here after this word from Wendy's. Now, rise, shine, and dine with Wendy's breakfast, and get a sausage or bacon, egg and Swiss croissant for just $1.99. Fresh cracked eggs, a buttery, flaky croissant, and your choice of bacon or sausage, all for just $1.99. So head to Wendy's in the AM for a breakfast worth waking up for. And with a deal this delicious, the biggest question you got to face today, sausage or bacon? Decisions, decisions. There's no wrong decision there. They're both great. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. There's a baby on board next on ESPN Radio.
This is family. Canty and Dolo Jr. ESPN Radio. What up, Sam? What up, Clint? What up, family? Dolo Jr. He's here. He's there. He's having Dolo Jr. Okay.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appeared via the Goodyear Hotline, and we got to give a shout-out to all our guests that came through today. Aaron Goldhammer from ESPN Cleveland, getting you ready for Thursday Night Football and updating you on the Baker Mayfield news. And, of course, our very own L. Duncan, SportsCenter Hearst, and First Take, Her Take podcast host, and, of course, very own Chinne Agbumike, former member of the show, family of the show, ESPN NBA analyst, and NBA Today. Mike, before we get to three and out, I think you got something for us on Indeed.
Yes, we do. We got a word from Indeed. Before we get to that, reminding you that when you have your own business, you basically have to do everything. That includes hiring, which can become a second job, which is why there's Indeed, the all-in-one hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in one place. They got smart tools like Instant Match. You instantly get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description the minute you sponsor a job. Spend less time sifting through resumes and more time saying you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Let's get to three and out. Because we got a lot to get to here. It has been a busy day here, including the Cleveland Browns announcing that Baker Mayfield will not start this week. His streak of 51 consecutive starts dating back to 2018 comes to an end because of that non-throwing shoulder injury, which means Case Keenum, his backup since last year, will be starting for the Browns, and Case Keenum believes he is ready.
Even on a short week like this, I've done it a lot, so I'm excited. With the guys out there, you know, I know we're uncertain on a lot of the guys who's going to be out there, but I'm built for this. This is what I've done my whole career, not knowing if I'm going to start up until game time, to not knowing who's out there with me, to introducing myself to players while I'm calling a play type stuff. So, I'm excited. What better chance to, take advantage of an opportunity than on Thursday Night Football? I know these opportunities don't come around very often to be a starting quarterback in this league, only 32, per week. So I'm ready to take advantage of it.
Chris, Case Keenum said you don't got to get ready when you stay ready. And I don't know how that's going to help him when the Browns' two starting tackles are out, but I wish him well.
Exactly. That's one of those things that sounds good. The only question I have about it is, are we going to see the Case Keenum from 2017 when he was with the Minnesota Vikings and Kevin Stefanski? Or are we going to see Case Keenum when he was with Denver, or the Case Keenum that we saw when he was with the Rams or the Texans? I don't know, man. It's a mixed bag, but I will say this. The weapons are in place for Case Keenum to be able to push the ball down the field should Stefanski decide to go that route tomorrow against Denver. So I think we'll have to end up seeing. But, I mean, listen, he's saying all the right things as a backup quarterback. He's trying to instill some confidence in the rest of the guys that all is not lost because Baker Mayfield is not playing. But for me, you got to go out there and prove it. He's got to go out there and show that he's capable of being able to take this team where they want to go.
Baker Mayfield not playing in a game. We know it's a contract year for Baker. You mentioned what this offense potentially does if they can move it down the field a little bit. We talked to Aaron Goldhammer from ESPN Cleveland earlier today on Canty and Golic Jr. about what this could do and affect with Baker Mayfield and contract talks in the future.
Case looks as good or better than Baker in this offense. I think it will affect how those contract negotiations go, and it's going to light everybody. If Case has good chemistry with Odell and Odell plays, that is a total powder keg for our show.
That is absolutely a powder keg for the national media as well, because Baker's always been a volatile guy when it comes to the national conversation. He's been a guy who we all agreed, and most of us agreed, deserved an extension, but not too much of an extension, not too expensive an extension. And so how this works, especially relative to what we saw last year with Dak Prescott, who was injured for the Cowboys, albeit lost for the season, they hope that's not the case for Baker, plays into this contract going forward, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you're as loyal as your options if you're Cleveland, right? I mean, what's your alternative if it ain't Baker Mayfield? And I think that's the thing that could push them closer to getting the contract extension done at the end of the season rather than not. So that would be something to keep an eye on. Of course, if you're their general manager, Andrew Berry, you want more data points and you want more evidence that Baker Mayfield can be the reason why you're winning games rather than being in a position when you're winning in spite of him. So I guess that remains to be seen. But now an opportunity we know is going to be taken away from him because he's not starting on Thursday night. Let's see how this injury progresses and when he's available for this team, because, again, they'd like to see a lot more from Baker before they can get comfortable committing the kind of dollars that it's going to take to lock him up long term.
Kenny and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Three and Out is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. We saw this report from John McClain in the Houston Chronicle earlier today that the Texans could be finally getting closer to trading quarterback Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins. Even though the NFL's trade deadline isn't until November 2nd, a deal could go down as soon as this week, according to people familiar with the negotiations. The Dolphins have lost five in a row, Chris. We know this was one of the teams that was rumored to be in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes before all the legal allegations against Deshaun Watson took center stage. And that, to me, is the biggest question, because we're hearing a lot of buzz right now, Chris, about the possibility of Deshaun to Miami, what that could mean for Tua. Maybe a team like the Denver Broncos becomes available in a three-team deal in all of this. And the biggest domino that remains is the NFL going to step in and actually do something to Deshaun Watson? Conduct detrimental is always that trump card they can play when it comes to keeping a player off the field during a time period where we still have very serious legal allegations hanging over his head.
Well, they can also use the commissioner's exempt list as well. So that's another option that would be afforded to the NFL if they want to just remove Deshaun Watson and take him off the field until the legal process runs its course. But the one thing I will say about this is that it's clear that Miami's seen enough from Tua and they realize that they need more from the quarterback position in order for Brian Flores to be able to have the kind of success that they're looking for. That's why they're making this move. It seems a little bit premature, but I guess they're already saying that this is not a guy that we feel is going to be able to build around. So they're making a decision. We knew they were rumored coming into this year, but they finally went ahead and officially let it be known that they're into Deshaun Watson sweepstakes.
Yeah, it's amazing how quick it changes. Again, we knew this flirtation was there prior to the legal allegations, but Chris, it was a reminder of how short the leash was apparently for Tua on this and how winning ultimately makes the decision here. If Miami hadn't gotten ahead of schedule last year, looking like a playoff team for the majority of last season, and then falling to 1-5 this year in a way that rang a lot of alarms, I doubt we'd be making this decision. So we'll talk to Lance Zierlein, co-host of The Bench on 97.5 Houston, tomorrow at 3:10 Eastern.
Losing to the Jaguars was the last damn straw. That was it. They couldn't take any more. Lost to the Jaguars, we got a trade for Deshaun.
Kenny Angola Jr. here, three and out, and let's end on this one. A big-time catch in Jacksonville. Defensive end Dwayne Smoot had his second child. Him and his wife, Amari, delivered the baby Tuesday in their Jacksonville home. Smoot was there to catch it. He was on the phone with doctors learning how to tie the umbilical cord. And Chris, all I can say is thank God this was child number two, and he had seen how it's done with child number one.
No question about it, but I know the scouting report on Dwayne Smoot says very coachable, because if he's taking instructions over the phone from the paramedics on how to deliver the baby and then he lands the plane, you got to be impressed with him being able to take instructions and follow coaching. So shout out to Dwayne Smoot. Congratulations to him and his wife for their new addition to the family.
My favorite quote from the article said, Smoot obviously missed Tuesday's workout at the Jags facilities. Understatement of the century. Coming up next, though, stick around here on ESPN Radio. Game 5 coverage of the Red Sox and Astros starts now.